Blog Talk Radio.
There's a lot of people under the sound of my voice tonight. God has sent for you once. God has sent for you twice and three times. Some of you God has sent for 30 and 40 times. But you stop your ears to the voice of God and you haven't listened to God. But let me tell you something. One of these times God's going to set fire to your barley field. And there's only one way that God can get you to come. And that's to take something you dearly love.
You know how many times we get in this life to mess up on y'all? Oh, I know all righteous men will fall, but you guess what? Seven times, but you only going to die one time. You ain't going to get to come back and say, y'all, can I do this all over again because I done had a flame of hell on my ass. He going to give you no second and third and fourth and fifth chances. You got one life and that's it. You better live it right.
Why should a sinner repent? Because God deserves the obedience and love that he has refused to give him. Why should a sinner give up all his sins? Why should he be challenged to do it? Why should he make restitution when he's coming to Christ? Because God deserves the obedience that he demands.
The only sin we living in is the past that should have been gone and done away with by the blood. That's why we sit here with a guilty mind and guilty conscience. I guess we're trying to say that, Father, I guess that Yahshua's blood wasn't strong enough or powerful enough to do away with my sin.
God don't delight in ripping you. God warns you. He said, if you don't confess your sins, then I burn your barley field. God's extended the time again and again. You've laid on your bed at night and you've had God come and wake you up and say, seek my face, child. And you said, not tonight, but later on. Not tonight, but later on. Next week, God. Next month, God. Next year, God.
You got to get rid of the fear from the beginning and leave the worry. What do you think this walk is? This walk is about the warriors and getting rid of the fearful. Because the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable, they're all going to have their part in the lake was burning with fire and brimstone.
Fire. The blood makes atonement for us all.
God, if I've got anything in my life between me and you, God, let me to confess it and forsake it. God, search me. God, get everything out of my way.
Hey, shalom, 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 saints. How's everybody doing? Can you hear me? I had Brother Shane coming to my rescue again. I had the wrong mic button depressed. The guy that runs the board and I had the wrong bike. Yeah, okay, brother. Thank you, brother. Ah, glory to the King. It's been one of them days, I'll tell you. Hallelujah. My printer decided to just pull a complete stupid and wouldn't see the paper. When it ran out of paper, tried to put more paper in it, wouldn't see it, wouldn't do anything, wouldn't print, and I was doing everything. It finally printed, and I got here a few minutes left, and yeah, it's just been one of those. Hallelujah. Anyway, hey, glory to the King. It's good to have you all on board tonight, all in the room. And of course, if you haven't figured out, this is Elder Becker with tonight's edition of Blog Talk Radio. Well, I hope you all had a good Shabbat, got plenty of rest, and I'm sure that the faithful Israelites truly enjoyed, again, that precious word that the Father gives us through our dear shepherd and pastor, Pastor Dowell. Man, we get fed so much. We get a rich diet, don't we? I mean, hallelujah. Hey, good to see y'all popping in the room. Glory, glory, glory. Yeah, I probably it won't be a 2-hour blog tonight. It'll just be a simple one, but just something that, you know, the Father just put on my spirit here a couple weeks ago and got it all together. And all right, thank you, Brother Shane. Appreciate it. So we're going to talk about that. If you didn't see the title of tonight's little study is "O Corruption, Where Art Thou?" And it's kind of a snappy title, but hey, you know, that kind of gets people, you know, intrigued, like the snappy, you know, like, wow, what does that mean? Yeah, that's right. O Corruption, Where Art Thou? And the reason I came up with that title, it's not so much that corruption, you know, like you've disappeared. It's actually the other way around. It's like, where art thou? Where does corruption work against us and in us? And that's the thing that we're going to examine, because as in everything, you know, we have the ability as saints to actually strengthen our spirit and our soul. Of course, the body, the flesh is made in, you know, it's going to corrupt. It's going to break down. It's going to, you know, it's going to go back to the dust. That's just the course of things since sin entered into the world with Adam and Eve. But we have, you know, more than that we can actually preserve ourselves from and actually, you know, enhance and strengthen ourselves against any form of corruption in the spirit and in the soul. So with that, we're going to go ahead and get started. Again, appreciate you all being in the room. Of course, Brother Paul, for diligently always doing the posting for the saints and keeping them up to my speed talks here and where I'm at with my, you know, when I'm doing my blog talk, because I like to put on a lot and put it out there fast. And I guess everybody has their different administration, the way they bring things across. That's mine. But hallelujah, glory to the King. All right, with that, we're going to get started. Again, the title tonight is "O Corruption, Where Art Thou?" And we're going to go right off into the Apostle Shaul's writings in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. Verses 23 and 24. Glory to the King. Well, I'd like to greet each and every one of you by name, but I can barely see the computer screen, for Pete's sake. I got these bifocals and they bifocal me out, so I can't even see what's on the screen. Help me, Jesus. Anyway, hallelujah. Everything in stride. Okay, with that, we're going to get started. All right, Paul says, "And the very Yah of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray Yah your whole spirit and soul and body." Okay, these three different areas in our lives be preserved blameless or be preserved faultless under the coming of our Master Yeshua HaMashiach. Faithful is he who called you, who also will do it. And we're going to look at the word preserved as Paul used in the 23rd verse. The word preserved is the Greek 5083. This is the Thayer definition, the Thayer lexicon. And it says, the word preserved, or I pray Yah, your whole spirit, soul, and body be attended to carefully so that it's faultless, or to be guarded, to metaphorically to keep one in the state in which he is, to observe, to reserve, to undergo something. So the whole idea about all these things and the preservation, so we're found faultless before our King when he comes, that we have to give a good attendance. We have to be give a careful, diligent attendance to these areas in our lives, our spirit, our soul, and our body. All right, Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 through, 7 through 9. And Paul says again, he said, "Be not deceived. Yah is not mocked. He will not be mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. simply meaning that no man can pull one over on Yah, for he cannot be nor ever shall be deceived by what a man does. I mean, you're not going to get away with anything. Whatever you put forth, it's going to return back to you. So if you yield to something good and present something good and do those things which are good, you get back the same thing. You get the enrichment from the good that you sowed out there, but of course it works the opposite way for sowing to wicked things. You know, the reborn converted man has the ability and the will to scatter seeds which both grow and bring forth death, you know, pertaining to the lust of the natural man, or life, you know, the things that which lead to holiness and perfection. And verse 8, for he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. So we're finding out Paul's identifying which avenue, if you go that way or to the things of the flesh or the natural man or the unconverted man, the Gentile man, that in itself tells you that you're going to reap back the corrupt things that bring no edification and no life. They all bring death. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So staying in the Spirit of Yah, and the Holy Spirit, and in the Spirit of truth. And let us not be weary in well-doing. What a statement. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So there is a fight and a war, always fighting against the corruption that's trying to come back into us and against us, you know, through the realm of the spirit, the soul, and the body. You know, this verse tells us that that well-doing or guarding the things of the Spirit to protect the good crops from the wilds and the enemy promises that we will harvest of the good crop if we don't give up or give in to the things of the flesh. Okay, and we're going to look at the word corruption again in the Thayer definition, Thayer lexicon, the Greek 5356, Pathora, I believe it's pronounced. And it means corruption, destruction. So, for he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap destruction. So in the flesh is automatic destruction, death. Perishing, that which is subject to corruption, which is perishable. In the Christian sense, the internal misery in hell. In the New Testament, in an ethical sense, corruption, moral decay. So we're dealing with avenues of destruction, moral decay, something that causes us to perish away from the good thing, the good way. And it was from the Greek 5356, which means decay, that is ruin. So that gives a pretty good idea of what destruction, what corruption is. It's actually just destruction, a destroying of either the spirit, the soul, or the body. And again, you know, like I said earlier, that the body is going to break down. It's going to inherit corruption just by the fact that sin is in the flesh, all right? But we still have the ability to preserve it the best that we can, treat it the best that we can, love and cherish our own bodies. You know, as John, he talks about when John wrote his third letter, is that I wish above all things, brethren, that you prosper and be in health. So there's a direction there to be in health. At least the body is feeling good while it's breaking down, because we all know that as we get older, we can feel the aches and pains, and we're actually reaping, some of what we sowed in our younger youthful days when, you know, you had that Superman cape and a bulletproof vest and nothing would withstand against you. And for you of those that are a little bit older, you know too well about what I'm talking about. All right, going on to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy 31, 24. Let me see, 24 through 30. All righty. And Moshe says, and it came to pass when Moses had made an end of writing the words of this law in a book until they were finished, that Moses commanded the Levites, which bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Most High, saying, take this book of the law and put it in the side of the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh, your Elohim, that it may be there for a witness against thee. For I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck. Behold, while I'm yet alive with you this day, you have been rebellious against the Most High. How much more after my... I mean, Moses knew the state of man. He knew the corrupt nature of man. He knew that man was bent on destroying himself. So he's telling it. He already knows what it's going to be, whether he's there or not. Gather unto me all the elders of your tribes and your officers, that I may speak these words in their ears and call heaven and earth to record against them. So he's giving them a warning. Look, this is what's going to befall you. Y'all think you're doing well and everything, but there's always this destruction that is trying to, this moral decay that always seeking to come back against us. He says in verse 29, for I know that after my death you will utterly corrupt yourselves. I mean, going full bent out for destruction. And turn aside from the way which I have commanded you, and evil will befall you in the latter days. For what? For going out for corrupting themselves and for turning aside, going away or against the commands that have been given Israel. And evil will befall you in the latter days, because ye will do evil in the sight of Yahweh to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands. And Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended. Now, when the word corrupt here in the 29th verse in the Brown Drivers Briggs, is the Hebrew 7843, and it's Shekath. And again, it pretty much has the same meaning as the Greek definition of corrupt. It means to destroy, to corrupt, go to ruin and decay, to be marred, be spoiled, be corrupted, be injured, be ruined, be rotted, to spoil, to ruin, to pervert, to corrupt, deal corruptly, to spoil, ruin, destroy, to pervert, corrupt, destroyer. So everything has to do about destruction, perversion, perverting that which is supposed to be right and true. And actually, you know, a rotting away. Now, we're talking about not only the natural man, of course, but we're talking about the corruption that will attack the soul, you know, the mind, the will, the emotions, and also the spirit, trying to destroy the spirit as well. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Matthew 6, 19 through 21. And this is what Yahshua says. He says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust does corrupt, and where thieves break through and steals. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. So we're seeing again, there's another, this is just the law of sowing and reaping here, and Yahshua is presenting it with other words, but in fact it's the same thing. So, you know, what you sow or what you lay up, whatever type of treasures you lay up, whatever kind of seed you sow, do the one that actually gives you the things that, you know, gender towards the eternal life with the Most High, with our Savior Jesus Christ. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Philippians 3, verses 1 through 8. And again, this is the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Philippi. He says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in Yahweh. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it's safe. Well, why is it safe? Because Paul keeps repeating himself and keeps admonishing out of two or more witnesses, let every word established. And Paul actually says, I don't forget what it is in Corinthians, you know, he's written unto you the third or second time to be a witness. So, you know, you can read it once, read it again. It's that urgent, that important, that I want you to get this. So I'm going to keep bringing it back to you till I'm convinced that you actually are hearing what I'm trying to tell you. But for you, it's safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. I mean, why is Paul giving all these warnings again? Why is he writing about this again? Beware of the concision or those among us. Okay, hang on. Beware the concision, those among us also resemble, portray themselves as being a part of the circumcision, the token of the flesh that we are Israel. Those that are actually presenting themselves as Israel are actually told to, you know, be careful. I mean, it's unfortunate, but you have to, even amongst your own selves, because there is always a viper on the loose, always looking to spread corruption, spread destruction, you know, put a bite on you, and in comes that moral decay. That's what venom does. It kills. In verse 3, for we are the circumcision which worship Yah in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Now, these are a few of the things whereby we can identify in those that who are the true and faithful of Israel and those who are only the pretenders. You know, as Paul so clearly spells it out, that those of the true covenant are those which place no confidence, or they don't listen to, they don't obey, they don't yield to, they don't comply with the things of the flesh, but they worship Yah in the spirit and rejoice in Jesus Christ in the spirit. Totally things that are in the spiritual realm, that sow to the spirit, that, of course, reap those things that are against the corruption that seeks to attack our spirit, soul, and body. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh he hath, whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. And we heard Pastor reciting this again just recently. In fact, that video this morning that he did. So Paul is telling these people, he's writing to them again, he's telling them that be careful that you don't put any confidence in the flesh, and he's giving them going to give them a demonstration, or what a pastor call it, I forget the word, he's going to show, you know, he's going to recite for them all of his achievements and who he is and how important that he was in the flesh. But if any other man thinketh that he hath, whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of Hebrews, is touching the law of Pharisees. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those things I counted lost for the Most High. Yea, doubtless I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus my Christ, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. So Paul took everything that he could expound and that he thought he actually could believe that he could accomplish in the flesh and show himself that, you know, being justified before the Most High, but he found out that he couldn't have any confidence of any of his past, of his natural bloodline heritage, of his, you know, his learning, all of this, he come to realize the grips with that even this, even the, you know, degree which he knew these things weren't going to prosper him at all. It was all about worshiping Yah in the spirit of truth. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. 1 Timothy 6, 1 through 8. Okay. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of Yah and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit these things teach and exhort. And if any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our master, Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions, about strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmining, all the corruption that comes from the carnal mind, the carnal understanding. Verse 5, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds. Remember, men whose minds have been destroyed, that are being rotten, that are decaying, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and certainly can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. And that, even today, living in this American society, that is a very difficult thing to actually grasp. It's that important principle that escapes a lot of people. I mean, You know, this is the land that says, go out and get it all. You know, this is the American dream. You can have it all. Do whatever it takes to get it all. And then the simplicity of being an Israelite is just have the basics, food and raiment, and then be content. Because Yah supply all of our needs. Whatever we have need of, he supplies. He promised that. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. 1 Corinthians 9, chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things, not just a few. He doesn't have self-control in just a few areas. He learns to have mastery, temperance, self-control in everything. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. You know, you strive for the mastery, to follow hard after the one may prove themselves the best and greatest of anything, to get and obtain greatness, to have outstanding ability, to have great knowledge, to have complete and total control over somebody or something. Some do it to obtain mastery in this life and in this flesh, but those who walk in the spirit and not after the things of the flesh strive to have control over the flesh so that they can obtain an incorruptible crown. And therefore, so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. And of course, the running is an action. It takes participation, active part. Remember, we read earlier that it said we're not supposed to be wearied and well-doing. Well, you're not going to get wearied if you ain't doing anything. If you ain't actually setting forth an action to fight against the things that would seek to corrupt or destroy the spirit, the soul, and the body. It's an active battle continually through prayer, fasting, you know, reading your word, hearing the word, whereby our faith will grow. All these things that bring destruction to the corruption that seeks to come against us. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. And Paul understood the battle. I mean, I don't have it in here, I don't believe, but when you read Romans chapter 7, he clearly lines it out that, man, he wills to do good. He wills to do them things that genders to good, those things that sow good seeds, so that he can reap the good from that and send up treasures into heaven. But he said, man, he has an enemy, and it's in his flesh. You know, the things that pull from the old nature, from the corrupt carnal mindset, from the things that the environments that we came out of, everything that is trying to draw us back again, and you know, in that way, is the end of that way is destruction or corruption. 2 Peter chapter 2 verses 1 through 3 and then 10 through 19. So 1, 2, 3, Brother Ugly, and then 10 through 19. And I got to say, it's hot in here. Whoo, buddy. Thank you, Brother Scott. You keep a good fire going, I'm telling you. Glory to the King. All right, starting out 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the master that bought them, and bring upon themselves the swift destruction or corruption. So you know, right here, Peter's giving the warning again that, look, there will be, you're not going to escape this. This is how the devil works. He's going to work through these false prophets and these false teachers trying to pull you aside and plant seeds of corruption so you reap death. And many shall follow their pernicious ways by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And that's not only people. We're capable of doing it ourselves. It all depends what we set before us, or you know, what we're striving after, where our treasures are, and pulling in the wrong things, seeking to, you know, might be seeking for greatness or for recognition. All these things that, you know, destroy the good seed of humility and bring the corrupt seed of pride, false humility and all the other things that accompany. And again, the things that come against the body, the soul, and the spirit. And through covetousness, because they have want of gain, these all follow the same pattern as this type of spirit. Shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not? Now we have to understand and grasp tightly the fact that the devil is also striving for mastery over us, pushing extremely hard as if his life depends on it. And in fact, it does, you know, because he's seeking to take away every witness off the face of this earth and establish complete control with all the seed, the remnant of Yah, completely destroyed. And but he can't, because it's already been written. So, but he's still acting like it, striving hard to corrupt and bring corruption to all of Yah's true Israelites, even though he knows that he's going to lose. This is how, you know, when it actually is amazing. Do gain and hold control over us. Sorry, I got a little lost in my thoughts there. All right, 2 Peter chapter 2, 10 through 19. Still talking about these false prophets, these false teachers, wishing to make merchandise of you, wishing to corrupt you, bring ways of destruction, ways of moral decay and rottenness. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh. Again, we're being, Peter's identifying these type of people that walk after carnal mindset, that walk after covetousness for personal gain, for personal recognition, for you know, self glory and admiration, for whatever the case may be. But there's something there that they're trying to promote outside of, you know, the things that provide for a holy, clean life. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Again, these are all identifiers of those that are the false teachers and the false prophets and the false brethren. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. And it's amazing that, you know, going back to when the Most High had pastor speak on the self-willed, presumptuous spirit, I'll tell you what, that drove a lot of these spirits out into the open. It was a remarkable thing to see. I mean, it was just like putting the cheese, the best cheese on the rat trap, and it caught a lot of people in this presumptuous self-willed spirit. And unfortunately, it cost a lot of people, you know, their fellowship, and possibly, nobody's. You know, it's not like they blaspheme the Holy Spirit, but as far as being a part of this ministry, All right, chapter 11. Whereas angels which are greater in power might bring not railing accusation against them before the Most High. Meaning that the angels know better. They know when to keep their mouth quiet. They know what to say and what not to say. They know how to conduct themselves. But these natural brute beasts, mean they have, they just do things that are governed by the carnal instinct, more or less on complete fleshly impulse. Made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, their own destruction, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they count it pleasure to riot in the daytime, spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. Again, they'll be among you, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls. Oh, there it is, beguiling unstable souls. Double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. These spirits know who to attack and who to go after. In heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity, for his crookedness. The dumbass speaking with a man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water. There's nothing, no substance to them, and nothing that can bring growth to anybody or anything. Clouds that are carried without a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved for, I mean blinded, completely blinded. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allude through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, that those clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, or the servants of destruction. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. So whatever you yield yourselves, servants, to obey, that's the thing that will overtake you and bring you into bondage and ultimately the destruction brought on by corruption. You know, destruction has them as its slaves. The word servant, as it says in verse 19 here, is the Greek 1401, again, the Thayer definition. It means a slave, a bondman, a man of servile condition, a slave, or metaphorically, one who gives himself up to another's will. Those whose service is used by Christ in extending and advancing his cause among men. A devoted to another in the disregard of one's own interests. Yeah, so it's not the interest or the preservation of the kingdom or the promotion of the kingdom. It's all about me, me, me. And the word corruption in here is the Greek 5356. And we read that one earlier. Again, corruption, destruction, perishing, moral decay, that type of thing. All right, continuing on. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Master and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled thereon, entangled back in the corruption and the destruction that only the world can offer. And overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. The key thing is overcome. It's one thing to get bound up and caught off guard and let yourself, give into a temptation or what, and you still have recourse because you still have, Yah still afforded you a place of repentance. But when it comes to that place where the pollutions come pouring back in and we're actually overcome, there really is no way of going back. That's I think, when the reprobate mind sets in. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, and then after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened, again, just like Moshe was telling, the holy commandment, but he already knew what the people were going to do. They were doing it then in front of Yah's servant, Yah's appointed man, and if they were doing it in front of him, no doubt they would do it when he wasn't in their presence. But as it happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that is washed to her wallowing in the mire. Man, we just look at some of these Facebook pictures. I'm in shock to see that some of the people that actually used to not only fellowship, but actually live on these grounds. I mean, you talk about being completely overcome and wallowing in the mire while they think it's beauty. What an illusion. What a sick illusion. Boy, Jesus. Let me see. What time is it? Okay, I'm going to go ahead and take a break quick. It's past the bottom of the hour. And because this is going to be just a little over an hour blog talk. So I'll be right back in just a short minute.
Shalom, this is Sister Wenda. I hope that all of you are enjoying the broadcast that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straight Way Truth radio broadcast. We try to make sure that we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast as well as the truth coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the Ministry of the Most High Yah. Our mailing address for your gift, offering, or letter of support is Charles Dowell Jr. That's Charles Dowell Jr. And Dowell is spelled D-O-W-E-L-L. 506 Ellington Drive. Ellington is spelled E-L-L-I-N-G. T-O-N, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, and Lafayette is spelled L-A-F-A-Y-E-T-T-E 37083. Again, our mailing address is Charles Dowell, Jr., 506 Ellington Drive, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, 1-800-273-8383. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615-688-3025. That's 1-615-688-3025. You may leave a message there, and be the Father's will, we will do whatever we can to try to return your message. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straightway Truth Ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry, that you are finding peace and growth within you, your family, and life as well. Please tell others so that the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ just like we all are. Shalom, the King is coming.
Yes, ma'am, the King is coming. Thank you, Sister Wenda, for that ministry break. All right, going right back into it, talking about the corruption and where it resides and where it seeks to attack us in Matthew chapter 7, verses 15. Matthew 7, verses 15. Let me see, 15 through 20. Matthew 7, 15 through 20. And this is Yeshua talking. Beware of the false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves, or desiring of something, desire to spread corruption, to sow that wicked seed. And of course, nowadays we don't have a whole lot of prophets, people that are actually proclaiming, are trying to operate in the office or administration of a prophet. You know, we deal more with false teachers and false brethren that, you know, will pull you off to the side and present some, you know, some of their own revelation truth to their, you know, their hidden mysteries, their knowledge. And you know, these are the things that, because if you have a man here that we can, as a ministry, you know, especially under the anointing and say with Pastor Dowell and, you know, some of the men, some of the saints that have been doing this a long time, we've seen a lot of these people that are presenting themselves to be as prophets, as pastors, as, you know, apostles on occasion, you know, and they're easily identified because they have no fruit. They have no power. They just represent a title. But now that they're easy to identify, you know, we have to beware of those that are of the concision, as Paul talked about, that are amongst us. We have to be careful of our own self, that we don't allow those things that are contrary to the word, and feel that in order to gain somebody's admiration or somebody's acknowledgement or somebody's, you know, thumbs up, that we have this type of doctrine, this type of truth, that, you know, a new revelation or whatever the case it may be, and we ourselves are acting as in the place of the corruptors. So we, you know, it's a constant thing to stay in the word, to stay truthful to the word, and to be keen to the word, be keen to your discerning the things that are going around, you know, to be sober, the Bible tells us. And you shall know them by their fruits, the identifier. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. But a corrupt tree, a tree that, we'll read the definition, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. The word corrupt here is the Thayer definition and Thayer lexicon, the Greek 4550, sapros, and it means rotten. So a rotten tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A putrefied tree brings forth evil fruit. A corrupted by one and no longer fit for use, worn out, of poor quality, bad, unfit for use, worthless, no benefit to anybody or anything. What a state. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. So you have the two ends of the scale here. You have the good fruit, those that operate in the Spirit, that walk in the Spirit, that worship in the Spirit, that praise in the Spirit, bringing forth the good fruit, demonstrating, manifesting the power of the Holy Spirit. And then those that tend to walk in the corruptness, in the moral decay, the moral depravity, you know, and you find that with a lot of people that murmur continually, complain in behind closed doors and to others, These are what these are your trees that are bringing forth corrupt fruit, manifesting no power, no authority, you can fake some people out with this phony righteousness or present yourself. And pastors talked about it plenty of times, you know, and get up there and jump the highest and yell the loudest and run around the tabernacle and do 1,000 YouTube videos, whatever the case may be, but still not have a, you know, the servants know who the tares are, who the corrupt trees are. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. All it's doing is taking up ground. It's not benefiting anybody. Nobody can live off of it. Nobody can lay up treasures in heaven off a corrupt tree. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Their pattern of life, their goings, their obedience. I mean, obey them to have the rule of authority over you. We've seen that played out how many times in the last year. There's a great many things, details that, people don't know about that go behind the scenes. It's not necessary. Do you know? You just have to take our word for it. You know, even amongst us, the saints of the Most High, this stuff does go on. This, you know, makes you just shake your head every time. You know, it really, just be on guard. I mean, take heed to yourself. That's what Paul said in very wise words. Jude chapter 1, verse 8 through 16. Jude 8 through 16. Now, wait a minute. Wait. I skipped something. Oh, hold on. Let's go. Psalms 38, 6. Sorry about that. Yes. Tehillim 38, verse 6. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day. I don't know how that got put in there. I mean, it seems to fit, but I mean, that must be somebody that's bound up in their own corruption, huh? Bowed down greatly, troubled, mourning all the day long. I don't know. Maybe I was supposed to copy because I got like 6 or 7 studies going on at one time. And sometimes I copy and paste stuff in the wrong study, but glory to the King. Anyway, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through, Ephesians 4, 17 through 22. 17 through, this is a big one, let me see. Through 32, 17 through 32. This I say therefore and testify in the Most High that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles in the vanity of their mind. And the detestable things, the emptiness of their own minds, having nothing in there but rotten fruit, their own thoughts, their own feelings, their own emotions, their own righteousness, you know, their self-justifications, everything that we were as Gentiles when, as in Paul, when he was, you know, he was of the bloodline, but he was also operating completely in the flesh. He had no spirit of the Most High, and he lost all that stuff so he could start over again and learn the things in the spirit. These are all vanity, and the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened and being alienated from the life of Yah through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness, but you have not so learned Christ. So Paul is giving a definition of a Greek mindset. They don't have anything. They're foreign from the life that's in Yah and Yahshua. They have a darkened understanding. They have no perception because the spirit of truth hasn't been opened up to them. So don't allow yourself to go back and walk as other Gentiles, as the Gentiles walkers, as we once walked, participated in this life. But you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him, and have been taught by him as the truth is in Yahshua, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt, which is destruction, which is ruin, according to the deceitful lust, something that actually in us that says that it's okay to do this, it's okay to do that, deceiving our own selves because of something that through covetousness, through desires for gain. Again, this country is replete with it. I mean, get as much as you can, and then, whatever happens after that, you'll find out how many treasures you actually sent up into glory. The word corrupt here in Ephesians 4:22 is the Greek 5351. This is in the Strong's. It's probably strengthened from pathio, to pine or waste. Properly to shrivel or wither. That is to spoil by any process. Again, we have the destruction, the moral decay, the perishing, everything that has to do with the corruption or the word corrupt. Or genitive to ruin, especially figuratively by moral influences, to deprave, corrupt, defile, destroy. Now the word destroy keeps coming up over and over and over. You know, that's a bad's name. He's the destroyer. I mean, I wonder if that's how this spirit is going to attack, you know, in the end days here, how he's going to attack people by getting them to go back to seeking their own vanity, their, to be consumed back in their own minds and, you know, have this godlike sense that we have when we're Gentiles, that, you know, for as long as we're good, everything's going to benefit us when our life goes out of our bodies. So who knows? I mean, but his name is Destruction, Apollyon. All right, verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Remember, we're talking about the spirit, the soul, and the body. Everything that has to be renewed, be regenerated. You put on the new man, the good fruit, the good tree. And that you put on the new man, which is after Yah, which after Yah is created in righteousness and true holiness. So we know where the creation of the new man comes from, the indwelling power of Yah's spirit in us. Wherefore, put away lying, speak every man truth to his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Don't be doing like the Gentiles who will lie to you, who are connive and deceive. But this is all about speaking the truth, every man to his neighbor. And the neighbors in Israel are brothers and sisters. Be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Okay, no speech that genders to death, no speech that causes destruction, that goes out there and watches things come into ruin. No things that would, you know, cause others to be deprived or remove, how do you want to say it? Take away the pure thoughts. Go on and plant these seeds that seeds of distraction, seeds of confusion. So let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. To the pure, all things are pure. But that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. You know, the corrupt communication, the woe is me type of attitude. And I think I've been unjustly done and unjustly represented, you know. And, of course, you're going to find somebody to let them know that justification. If you have to drive, you know, 5-6 hours away and find a whole new group of people that you can try and inject. I'll tell you what, the faithful Israelites, you know, we hear people, you know, they can't get away with it here, and they're offended about things that have happened here, and they've removed themselves, you know, even from this geographical nation. They seek to go someplace else, and they're already trying to pull men aside and speak their own corrupt things. They want other people. You know, you're going to go after the people with credibility. Everybody has, what I'm saying is those that have some authority, those that if you can convince them, give strength to a wicked way. And that's not going to happen with the righteous. You know, we don't have, I would say, really any brothers with any real stature or tenure that would allow things like this. In fact, they get on the phone and call home right away and say, hey, look, you know, so-and-so showed up, man. He's trying to pull me off to the side. I'm like, man, bro, I don't want to hear about it, you know. And that's the way we need to be. I mean, they could have smiled at you, you know, if you've known the last year, the last 10 years, you can forget that stuff. You know, people are subject to the wiles of the devil. I mean, take heed to ourselves. All right, where was I? Let me see. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. You know, again, either make the tree good or bad. That's another way of doing it, is by the words that you speak. The word corrupt here, as in the verse 29, It's, again, the Thayer definition, the Greek 4550, sapros, I think. Yeah, I've read this one, but I'll read it again. Rotten, putrefied, corrupted by one and no longer fit for use. Wow. A malt that can't even, a malt that's not fit to speak anything decent anymore. I guess it's time for duct tape. Of poor quality, bad, unfit for use, worthless. Let no worthless communication proceed. Let no words that are unfit for use that don't benefit or give edification. I mean, if it's not good, don't say it. All right. Just resist the temptation that Yah seeking for self. And just keep your mouth shut. It'll pass and you'll be preserved, and you'll actually be preserving of others as well. I mean, I hate to think about in the day when you have to answer to Yah for because of out of fits of anger or self-justification or whatever it may be that we pulled somebody aside and we give them what we call their confidence and help them see our side of the story. And actually we're there actually trying to destroy our brother and sister. And how many times do people repent of that? You know, I mean, it's a dangerous thing to be playing with Yah and his ways. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of Yah, whereby we are sealed unto the day of redemption. How do you grieve the Holy Spirit? Well, you speak corrupt with corrupt mouth. You go back to the way of the Gentile. You go back into doing the things that we did after the flesh. And you quit walking in the Spirit. Grieving the Holy Spirit is akin to operating after the corrupt man. It's on my notes. Let all bitterness, all these things that will grieve the Holy Spirit, the corruption that comes in by the flesh, by the natural mind. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Yah for Christ's sake have forgiven you. Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through, 2 Peter 1, verses 1 through 10. Let me check something here. Simon Peter, servant and apostle of the Most High, Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of Yah and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of Yahweh and of Yahshua HaMashiach, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. So all these things are coming through the Most High and the knowledge of Yah and our Savior Jesus Christ. These all things pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Because we're learning, we're being taught of the ways of the Most High to so we can lay up good treasures in heaven, so we can bring forth good fruit and be good trees. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Again, the attraction, whether it's for some type of gain, for some type of promotion, all these things that were connected with us when we were walking after the lust in the world and the corruption of our own minds. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue and virtue knowledge. Do all these things to build up all these things that Peter's listing off. And to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness, charity. And again, if we faint not, we'll finish this race if we don't faint. This is a constant work in progress, doing all these things, adding faith and virtue and virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance and temperance patience and patience godliness. And these are continual actions. The race, the running. For if these things be in you, what a question, if they be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Master Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind. Back again, this is Peter showing again these that lack. Remember, we talked about who's Gentiles, who the vanity of their own mind, the blindness of their own hearts. But he that lacketh these things is blind, acting like a Gentile again. He cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fail, never fall. Romans chapter 8, verses 18. Let me see, 18 through 23. And Paul writes again, starting in verse 18, for I reckon, you know, Paul is going to give us a summation. He's going to present with his thoughts to us, and these are very accurate thoughts that we can, you know, receive and have some hope in. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of Yah. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption, from the enslavement that is going to bring us to a ruin, to destruction, to moral decay, in the glorious liberty of the children of Yah. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and traileth in pain together until now. Again, growing, fighting, you know, every day striving, all this stuff, growing pains until we become fully mature, fully righteous. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption, for it is of Yah which worketh in you both. No, wait a minute, I'm sorry. Okay, that was the end of verse 23. To wit, the redemption of, and I lost the rest of this thing. It didn't all print out. My apologies. So you go back and read Romans 8:23. Years ago, I would have remembered what that was, but things start to slip when you get a little older. All right, Philippians chapter 2, verses 13 through 16. Philippians 2, 13 through 16. For it is Yah which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of Yah. I mean, you can be dangerous to other people, believe me. Remember, we talked about that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless or without fault, so that you may be without fault and harmless, the sons of Yah, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Yahshua, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. And Paul is saying that, you know, I poured all this stuff into you because it's right. I was preaching the gospel to you, writing to you two or three times, visiting you, and that I may be able to rejoice with you, that you heard, that you heeded, that you did those things that edified the spirit man and not the flesh man. Because again, Paul, he had a resume. That's the word I was looking for. He had a resume that, you know, is what he was able to do in the flesh, but he didn't count it. He counted it all lost because he understood what it meant to, you know, please the Most High in the spirit. Well, yeah, this is a quick study tonight. That wraps it up. Boy, it's not even an hour. Wow, man, I thought I was going to go over a little over an hour. Well, anyway, hallelujah. Well, anyway, that was a short, quick study. I hope you got some edification out of it, you know, about the corruption that we continually fight and should be fighting against in our, you know, spirit, soul, and body, that in due time that we can present ourselves before the Most High blameless without any fault. And in this ministry in particular, because of the dynamic and the richness of the word we get, I mean, there should be nobody that can ever get an excuse before the Most High that they lacked anything. Here, I mean, with the avenue of deliverance and you know, the teaching on prayer and fasting and you know, those things which gender to life. I mean, we're all without excuse when you come. In fact, there was a man that called Bishop Banks years ago that from another time. He's done past, but that man, you know, he actually, and I'm sure a lot of you have heard pastors say that. He said this is the last stop before the pit, simply meaning that if you can't hack it at a place that gives you this much truth and you deny this and remove yourself from because of an offense or whatever the case may be, you get pulled back into the world by the cares and riches of this life, whatever it may be. Pretty much what he was saying is that once the breath goes out of your body, you know, you're going to end up spending up eternity in hell. But hallelujah. Anyway, hey, I hope you are all blessed and encouraged. I as always, would admonish everybody to keep, of course, our shepherd, Pastor Dowell, lifted up mightily in prayer, not only for the utterance that we receive, the richness of Yah's word through him, but, you know, also for his physical, his mental well-being, all those things that, that Yah may preserve him, because, you know, it's almost a selfish benefit for us to, you know, I pray for my pastor, you know, besides the selfish benefit, but that's what it is, because Yah gives us somebody that feeds us that rich word. And, you know, it's like, well, Yah loves a cheerful giver. So giving good prayers and edification and sending up those things, the sweet incense to the Most High. Yeah, it is counted as something. And I appreciate everybody's thank you, but I thank you all for sitting in tonight, for coming in the room for, and I really hope that this is able to do something for you. I all pray that you have a blessed week. Remember, we got to start saying it, that the Passover is coming up soon. Of course, Pastor brought it on Blog Talk. It's going to be here sooner rather than later. I mean, things move fast. It seems like time is moving much faster. When I was growing up, a summer, like to me was, you know, it was like half the year, and then school year, half the year. Now you watch these children now, or these, you know, they go to, they have their summer vacation. It's like 2 weeks and they're back in public school again. I don't know what it is. You know, it's like the day just ain't long enough, but hallelujah. All right, Brother Paul. I'm glad you put that up there. I was meaning to ask you. I'm glad you got my voicemail today. I'll check the email. Well, anyway, y'all be blessed. Y'all be encouraged. Y'all have a good week. Be stayed up, you know, prayed up, fasted up, you know, always preserving yourself from those things that seek to corrupt our spirit, soul, and body. All right. With that, I bid you all a good night. Yah speed and Yah bless. The King is coming.